Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
הלו, שלום, שלום, happy Sunday, יום ראשון שמח. This is Ilan Azulay, and this is the Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. What a wonderful week, wonderful day, wonderful week, everything is what I create. So, לכל אלה שמאזינים, I'll follow up with English, לכל אלה שמאזינים, שלום, טוב להיות פה ולדעת שאתה, את, אתן, אתם, כולכם מקשיבים, ואני מקווה שנדבר בקרוב מעל גלי האתר. Hello everybody. So yeah, so this is the Abracadabra show, a Sunday, July 15, well, you know that already. We'll start with this prayer that I so much appreciate and love. הריני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של ואהבת לרעך כמוך. I hereby accept on myself the due command of love your friend, your neighbor, as you love yourself, or the expression of yourself. And we'll start with the independent love. Is love dependent on something? Is love independent?
רחוק ומימולי המנסה להיות הבוקר המזכיר את אתמולי לא במילים לא במילים לא במילים
I can groove to this all day. This was Mati Kaspi, composition of Sasha Argov. And really talking about my love is independent. And tied into the first, into the prayer that I said earlier. The focus many times we, of when we say, when the known sentence that says love yourself, love your friend or neighbor as you love yourself, in Hebrew it's a little bit more detailed in the sense of where is the emphasis. Is the emphasis on your friend or the person in front of you or yourself? Well, first it has to start with me. First of all, it has to start with myself. It has to start with accepting myself, going through the process of the journey of recognizing and accepting and seeing everything as is, without the attachment to anything that happened in the past, without attachment to somebody that may have triggered me. Alright, so first it is a process of accepting yourself as a whole, or as a whole up to this moment, because next week we'll develop more, we'll evolve more, hopefully. and so everything is up until to this moment, because we don't know what will happen next, and tomorrow never happened yet. So love yourself first. Go on the journey. Be on the journey of recognizing and getting up in the morning, and being grateful. Being grateful, not necessarily to an external force, but to yourself, first of all. To be grateful to yourself, to be grateful to God, to the Creator, of bringing everything in abundance. Everything is in abundance to you. So are you ready to reclaim your power? This is something I've that has stuck with me for quite a while, and basically this is... In our own journey, this is the bottom line. Are we ready to reclaim our power? Not power over somebody, but your own power. Seeing and recognizing what box of crayons you got when you came here in this journey. What are you able to create? Are you creating? And if you're not creating, find that which you don't, which holds you back from creating it, for being in a harmonious place with yourself. Because only from that place you can create, and you can create authentically. So, how did I come to sound? Somebody asked me, well, you didn't really talk about sound a lot. Well, that's true. Although we create sound with our words, and we create our reality with our words, with our thoughts, but sound is really, I see it as the best medicine on the cellular level, on body, and on emotional level. We are made of sound. We are made of vibration. Everything vibrates. Everything moves. Also, what appears not to be moving is moving. Everything has electrons running around the nucleus, and if it stops, what would happen if that suddenly stops? Everything goes away. So vibration and sound, every part of our body, it has a frequency. Every part of every organ has a frequency. So I work with, I'm a spiritual mentor, and I'm an empowerment speaker, and I work with people who desire to reclaim their power. And it goes into relationships. In every aspect of your life, in relationships, especially between you and yourself, And so sound, when I use sound, I use different modalities. I use Tibetan bowls, I use music, I use singing, I use spoken words. And the Tibetan bowls that I use are made of seven metals, and each metal corresponds to each frequency that we have either in our energetic system or our body. And we allow, unlike crystal bowls, which are healing in a different way, but the Tibetan bowls can also be heard through the auditory system, our ears, not just a single tone, but also the overtones, and each overtone and each frequency has its own healing properties, but also you feel the vibration in your body. It's like an electricity. It's like feeling this expansion in your body. And so I target this a lot. Recently, I've been working with people that are going through a divorce or exiting a relationship, exiting even an abusive relationship, but going through a divorce. And divorce, especially here in California, in LA, is a big thing. It's almost like scary. It almost becomes like a trend. You know, it's a very expensive trend, but it's a very painful trend. But nevertheless, it's happening a lot. And divorce, going through a divorce can cause a lot of things, especially within yourself. So I work with people to bring yourself back into your center. When you go through a divorce or a breakup, or for whatever reason, what are the reasons? Why it got there, it's a whole different thing. But you are there. You are in this place. You are in this situation of something broke, or the appearance of something that broke. And the reason I say appearance is because when this is happening, and when the divorce is happening, and you're dealing with lawyers, and also you have children in the whole equation, there is a lot of things that are there. There are many things that are happening that can throw you off your center, and suddenly you realize that you are fighting, like almost you are running around your tail, and you try to do that. It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to catch the tail, actually. But you lose your center. You lose your center. Many times you find yourself fighting these fights. And I can talk from my own experience as well. For many years, if you've listened to the first show, I had on the first show my ex-wife, Heather, and we're sitting here, and we have a great relationship today. But it wasn't like this always. What I can talk about my personal experience and some of what I work with others is this almost like a vortex of despair, fighting something that you know is not existing. I mean, it exists because of the materialistic manifestation of it. You have to take money, you are angry, you're going into all kind of thoughts and anxiety. What would happen? How this court hearing will go? What will happen with my child? What will happen with this? How would I do this? How would I do this? And because you're stuck in this round room, it's like trying to find the corner in a circle room. And it can go on for a long time. And for me, it went many years until I realized and things shifted. So the phone number here is 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. You can call and you can talk about anything that you feel like, and that has to do with your journey, that has to do with what you experience, with what you're observing, how things are manifesting in your life. And on the second half of the show, I will talk about five ways to really come into joy in a relationship. It doesn't have to be a romantic relationship, but a joy for you a joy in the relationship, a joy for you, a place for you where you can discover your truth and be in place of harmony, and it's a practice. But these are basic tools that come from Kabbalah and Judaism, and are also in other philosophies later on in time. But as we're all going to the same, we're all eventually going to arrive at the same ocean. We're just taking different rivers to get to the ocean. But we're all going there, and our goal is to be whole and to be in the space of love, where there is no judgment, where there is no criticism. And if it comes to a place, if it does come to a place of criticism, or there is something that you want to tell your partner or whoever is in that relationship, there is, I don't know how you do that, but it's really important how we say things. I've learned that firsthand, and it is something that is beautiful, and really you don't have to do much. It's funny, you know. It's funny how we think sometimes that we have to work so hard to maintain what is, and in reality, we don't. So, you know, if you have somebody in the relationship. You are in a relationship, and you want to tell something to your spouse or to your partner. You know, when we come right away and we say, well, why this is happening like this? You could have done this, you could have done that, you could have done this and that. Whatever criticism that is, which is, this was an external example, but whatever criticism that is, start with seeing the good first. With seeing the good first. Seeing the good in the other person first. When I work with couples, and usually when they are coming to a place of having a session, it's usually when it's already not working or there is a tear, and everybody comes and just talks about the other person negative things, and he did this, she did that, he did this, she did that. And I would listen, and I would ask each one of them, please write down five good things about the other person. Five good things about the other person. After they say what they said, just write five good things about the other person. And many times people are caught by surprise. But wait, I came to talk about this and this. Now you're telling me to write good things about them. Never mind, just write these five things. And what happened is interesting because then you start seeing how your thought is shifted. Your energy field is shifting. Your energy field is shifting, and now you start focusing on, okay, I was told to write these five good things. Well, I remember she does this, and he does that. She does that, he does that, and soon we come to five things, and the thought process and the energy field that you're starting to inhabit is completely different. And now going and talking about these five good things, the other things that which they came for suddenly are diminishing. Now there are things that need to work through and go through, but this is a process that we do. But this is a basic. This is something very interesting that is happening in our thought. That's why everything starts with our thought, and we create what we speak eventually. But we also create what we think. Now there is an old sentence, an old phrase that an old Judaic phrase, and actually it comes from Zohar, and it says, and I'll translate it. It says, "Chaim v'mavet be'ad lashon," life and death at the tongue's mercy. Life and death at our tongue's mercy. Our tongue, what we speak, is energy that we take out. Think about a laser. You don't see a laser when it points, but it's there. A laser can disintegrate many things from afar. So are our words and what we speak. When we open our mouth, aside from the auditory, from the audio that comes out, the words, the letters, there is an energy that goes out. There's an energy that goes out that is a reflection of who we are inside at that particular moment. So if we are in a negative space, what comes out may sound like one thing, but has a whole completely different intention. So, do you say what you mean, and do you mean what you say? So there are when we talk and when we say, it's how we say what we say. We can say everything in a very harsh tone, staccato, like you can cut the air with a knife, or you can start with a good thing, with a compliment to the other person, then say what you have to say, and then end with a compliment, with an appreciation. So last time, how does this tie? Last show we talked about, or I talked about, you were joining me. Again, the phone number here is 818-602-4929. That way I don't talk alone, and you can call and talk with me and share with me. That would be lovely. Last time we talked about co-creation versus competitiveness. And we talked about in the educational system. The educational system is being really teaches us to compete. To compete. The people with the highest grades are being hired to a certain company. And what they discovered, those with the higher grades are not necessarily producing as well as other people that didn't have higher grades, because they were all the time in competitive mode, competing mode, not co-creation. Our essence is to come together. Our essence belongs, is about belonging. We all the time yearn to belong, look to belong, look to be in connection, look to be in love, look to be accepted without judgment, just seeing who the person is in front of you. And so things happen, you know, but you look at who is in front of you. So co-creation is where we are. I kind of lost my sentence here, but co-creation, there I'm back. Co-creation is co-creating, is coming to this place of community, of connectivity, of connectedness, actually, and co-creating from that space. And when we are in a competitive mode, so there is no co-creation, there is who is the best, I'm going to be the best, I'm going to be the best, you also lose track of really what your essence is. Yeah, there is production, we're here to produce, we're here to do, we're here to create. But when you come in a competitive mode and a product of this educational system and society, and it starts with little children that are being, from that age where we are born into stories and being taught to be competitive and not being encouraged based on our own gifts, based on our own box of crayons, as I said. We all come here with different colors, with different crayons. So we all have different gifts. A person can be very hyperactive, cannot sit in one place. Well, how do you work with this person? So it starts from there. It starts from a very young age. We're born into stories. And we are growing to be competitiveness. And with the competitiveness, there are all kind of aspects like jealousy. And what is jealousy? And jealousy is a whole different egoic emotional state that we feel because many times of our own uncertainty about ourselves, or uncertainty about what we have, or self-doubt. So with that, today what I want to touch about is the choices that we make. So you are on your journey, and I see a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of people that are going, that are in different parts of their journey. They are in different parts of their journey. One is a certain point, the other is a certain point. One is more advanced, the other one is not at a certain place. Not because it's better or not, without judgment. It's just the placement on the map, where everybody is, and the choices that we make. The choices that we make, and once we make this choice of, let's say, being with somebody, who is that person you choose to be with? Once we make this choice, how are we within these choices? How are we within that choice? So I want to tell you a story right after this one.
שוניתי יפה שלי בואי נשקע בתוך זדינים רכים ובחלומות הארוכים את האישה שלי בואי עליתי יפה שלי בואי נדהר אל מרחבים כחולים
It is a choice when you find somebody. This is the one you find for yourself. This is the right person for you at this moment in time. Nothing else matters because you are here. And the reason you are here is because you are not there. That person is here. And we go through our journeys, and many times, how many times has this happened to you where you go through a journey, you meet a person and you say, wow, I feel like I've known you for a long time, even before I known you. And that's true. We all come from the same spiritual tribe, if you will. And when we meet here, we have this strong sense of connectedness to one person. And everything flows and so forth. And yeah, so when that person is here, when you go through your journey of 30, 20, 40, 50 years on both sides, and you meet one person and everything is flowing, it's these two circles, like the Venn diagram. There's two circles that come together at a particular moment in time. This is what I call the kissing points of our synchronicities. We come together at right time to create a story. We co-create this piscis in the middle. So when we have empowerment, when we are empowered and we have choices, we're not micromanaged or criticized, and there is no judgment, then the creativity flows, because the creativity comes from the most purest form of ourselves at any given moment in time. And we can experience anger, we can experience whatever that is, but at that particular moment in time we are true to ourselves. And if we know that, and if we inhabit this space, then we are creating and we are creative. So there is this story that I wanted to tell you, and this is a story by a rabbi from Kotsk, I believe. And so the student comes to his rabbi and he asks him, "Rabbi, tell me, what is the difference between love and marriage?" Love and marriage. I remember there was an old song for that. But what's the difference between love and marriage? The rabbi told him, "Okay, you know what? Meet me tomorrow the field in the morning between the corn field and the wheat field. And I'll tell you." So the student comes the next day. The rabbi is there, and the rabbi tells him, "Okay, so what I want, you see this wheat field? I want you to go through this wheat field straight in a straight line. Don't look back. And bring me the best wheat that you can find. But if you passed a wheat and you didn't pick it up, you can't go back and pick it up. You just have to go in a straight line." The guy says, "Okay." So he walks through. He walks through the field, and the first wheat that he comes across is this beautiful, full wheat. It's just really just there was no ways to describe it. Beautiful, tall, and full. And he comes to pick it up and says, "Wait, the field is big. Let me see what's down the road," right? And he continues, and the next wheat, after a few meters, after a few some space, he finds a second wheat. It's not as great and as wonderful as the first one, but it's still very nice. It's not as tall, but it's very nice. It's full. It's healthy wheat. Like, well, you know, I'm sure I could find like the first one. And he continues. As he continues, the wheat going further becomes skinnier and smaller, skinnier and smaller, until he just got out of the field. He was very upset with himself, and he came back to the rabbi empty-handed. So the rabbi told him, "Okay, now go to this corn field and do the same thing. You go straight line, pick the best corn, and don't go back." So he goes in, and he finds the first corn. The first corn is not as tall. It's beautiful. It seems that it's healthy. It's not damaged. It's nice. He wants to continue, but then he remembered that what happened to him in the wheat field, and he was like, "You know what? No." He cut the corn, picked it up, ran to the rabbi, and said, "Rabbi, I found this corn. This is the best corn, and it's the best corn in the entire field." And so, the first wheat field is this love and the choices that we all the time look for. Choices, the choices that we make. You meet somebody, "Well, no, let me hold on to this person, or yes, but let me see else what's there." You know, you meet somebody, you go out, "It's okay, it's not okay, man, I'm going to leave an option open, option open, option open, option open," and then you're without nothing, right? And the second one is the unity, marriage, unity, coming together. There's something very sacred in marriage, coming together and recognizing the person that you have an aligned vision. You vibrate on the same energy. You vibrate and you are clear about what you want, and you have an understanding, both of you, each one on their own, of where you guys are going, together and separately. And you pick that person and you tell yourself, this is the best corn in the field. This is the best person for me in the entire field. And you make a choice. And it's a choice. It's a choice of saying, this is the best person for me. And you're also speaking it out. Because when you speak it out, you're thinking it, you're speaking it, and you are bringing that energy back into you. So when you are already... So this story, when I heard this story, this was really something very, very real, because this is happening. It happened with me. We all go through similar journeys, just in different points in time. And time, is time real? So here's a question, and if you feel like answering that, then give me a call. That'll be interesting. 818-602-4929. So if something happened in the past, let's say 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, and you are remembering it now, is it really something that happened or is happening now? Tell me what you think. Or you can write to me on the Facebook. And yeah, so five things. We talked about five things that really to find joy in your relationship. But again, it has to start with you. It has to start with you. Your flower. You are ready to bloom. You have everything that you need and that you have for you to reinvent yourself. Reclaim your power. Why do you have to reclaim your power if you have it already? Right? What's with that? Well, we are going through different things in our lives, like a divorce or a separation or other things that are happening in your life. And many times, because we are in this physical state, this physical experience, we sometimes get lost. We get lost within these thoughts, within this energy that sometimes takes us down. And so, if you are after a relationship, a divorce, an abusive relationship, and when I say abusive relationship, it's not necessarily a physical beating, but the more traumatic and hard and harsher abuse is really the verbal abuse. You'll find many times that because the beating, it's physical and it's gone, but what comes with it, if there are words that are associated with it, or there are no beatings, but there are words that are continuously putting the other person down, continuously putting a cap on the other person, a cap on their potential to create. We all come with a potential. We have this potentiality that is in us. And with the right nurturing and with the right amount of water, we can grow and become trees. But if you put too much water, too much of everything, there is judgment, there is condescending, there is competition, like we talked earlier. It's not just in the educational system. Competition is also in the relationship. It starts from there. It starts from when we're small, when we're young. And it comes to when we are in the relationship that there is a competition. Two people do the same thing. If they are not healed, they will start competing between one another, not realizing that they're on the same boat. And each person is digging a hole on the other side of the boat. And not realizing that what the other person does affects the second person and vice versa. So if you are in that place, coming out of this relationship, of coming out of a divorce, many times you lose yourself. You are in an anxiety. You think what will happen, what may happen. You already imagine the negative things that are going to happen because, I mean, how can otherwise? Well, I mean, the past showed me one thing. I'm going by the past. The past shows that this and this happened. I'm sure this is going to happen again, this negative outcome. But we are creating what we are thinking, what we're speaking. And when we are in the space of seeing ourselves, seeing where we are, we can start creating for yourself the best possible experience. A place of abundance, place of creativity. So, five ways to find joy in relationships. And it's not only relationship between you and the other person, but a relationship between you and yourself first. Number one is, stop blaming your partner for your disappointments. You know, when you are in a relationship, it's very easy to fall into blaming your partner for disappointments. But this is actually one of the most significant ways we destroy our own joy and peace of mind. It is also one of the biggest ways we undermine the other person. But let's stay with the first one, with the first sentence. Disappointments many times come from when we expect something. I expect something of you. I expect you to change or to say A, B, C, or D. And you don't. I expected that. Now I'm disappointed. The expectation of somebody else, it comes natural because we're in a relationship and there are sometimes words that we don't speak. Some actions that we don't need words for them. And we're disappointed because the other person did not fulfill our desire. Where is this desire coming from? What? It's a whole different story. But when we are expecting something from the other person, we are going to also set ourselves up for disappointment. Because the other person is the other person. I'm I, you are you. If I'm I because of you and you are you because of me, then I am not I and you are not you, right? So, the blame of the other person, the judgment. You know, when it happens many times that one person many times will give up their dreams or what they want to do to advance the other person's career, the other person's already in motion career. Let's say one person, they get together, they marry. One person has a job, the other person doesn't. And the one person that has a job, and it could be a man or a woman. It doesn't matter. We're shifting from this patriarchy to the matriarchy. So there are more women that are working and that are out, and so it doesn't really matter. But the other one person sacrificed or chose, this is the right word, because that's what we're talking about, choices. Chose to be completely immersed in the other person's career, and then 20 years later or 15 years later, you separate. Hopefully not, but that's what happens many times. How do you come to terms with that? Do you blame the other person for, it's your fault that I don't have this and this and this and that? No, there are many stories that are different. The different things, every story is very complicated because it's a story. But the bottom line, do you blame the other person? Or do you look at the choices that you made? Come to terms and to understanding where you were at that time. At first, when I was also married and then divorced from my first, from my wife,
at first I had the same feeling, but it took time to realize that I made a choice, and the choice that I made came from the place that I inhabited at that time that I made that choice. So I can't look now 25, 20 years back and say, oh, what stupid I was. How could I choose that? How could I make that choice? Well, no. At that time, I was a different person. So try to look at your choices that you made with the lenses of who you were at that time. The second point is the discovering the art of true giving. So you have a couple. The person comes and says, oh, I'm not giving until I get. Well, I'm not giving until I get. Well, I'm not giving until I get. Well, where does that leave us? Nobody gives and nobody gets. So, the ideal is not to give in order to receive. Because this is like in the Greek mythology, there is the four stages of love. And the last one is the Eros, where we are trying to manifest all these four stages of love, of agape, of phileo, of all those stages of love in the Eros stage, where it's all physical. And we're trying to receive love, but first we want to get something. Well, that's not really going to hold for a long time. When you give, when you are in front of your partner, it's coming to a place of giving. It's hard, but it's a continuous journey. It's a continuous practice. One rabbi said that before you marry, you court the person. You are bringing her flowers, you are giving her compliments. But then after the marriage or coming together for a few years, you kind of like, okay, well, I mean, it's a given. She's already there. She's already doing this. She's already doing that. Why do I have to give compliments all the time? So the rabbi said, before you get married, you compliment a lot. You court a lot. After you get married, you are an eternal courter. You have to be eternally courting the woman you're with or the man you're with, recognizing each person, who that person is standing in front of us. And continuously complimenting your partner, your person in front of you, not just your person in front of you as far as a relationship, a romantic relationship. The person in front of you, seeing somebody, being true, in true joy for that person, that they are achieving what they are achieving. But when you are in a relationship, complimenting the person in front of you constantly, it's like depositing in a bank. When you compliment, you deposit. You make a deposit. When you criticize, you're making a withdrawal. But if you made compliments all the time, then you have where to withdraw from. But if you all the time constantly say, well, why didn't you do this? Well, how is this? Well, this, and this is not okay, and this is not fine. Not saying thank you for your wife or your girlfriend or your husband or your boyfriend for doing what they're doing and recognizing that. Complimenting is going to get you a long way. So the true giving is coming, is giving because I want to give, because this is who I am. Giving is giving. I'm giving from, because this is who I am. And I give you because I'm committed to you, and I give to you, and therefore I love you. Right? The third one is giving up trying to change the other person. When two people come and they say, he's wrong, and the other person, he's wrong, and the other person, he's wrong, one thing to remember, you're both right. You are right, and you are right. Why? Because the words that each person creates, says, speaks, they create their own reality. That is their perception. The woman has a perception. The man has a perception. The problem becomes in not understanding really how the other person is built. Really understanding that we are wired differently. We are wired differently. For the most part, women want to go deep and talking and explaining and having conversation. I mean, if she had a conversation with 6 hours with her girlfriend, surely she can have a 6 hour conversation with her husband or boyfriend. Not many, not everybody, but not on the other side as well. Not many can handle that. Not many can handle and take that. Oh, I came from work, now I have to sit 6 hours and listen to you. No, that's not going to happen. But when we understand each person's needs, then we can be there for them, hold them the space, be able to listen to them. And this is the next point. Learn how to really listen. It's to listen. And if the person tells you something, don't let your monkey mind try to give excuses already in your head of what you're going to say. Just listen where the person is, what the reality of that person is. What is that person here to express? And the fifth point is developing patience. Patience is kind of an old-fashioned word in today's world, but everything is so boom, boom, even music, and I'm trying to play songs until the end because that's a song. Everything is fast-paced, boom, 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 here and there and here and there. Now, granted, we can talk about this in another time where time is really more condensed and things that we were able to finish today are not the same. Don't take the same amount of time that we could do this 10 years ago. So, but it's a different thing. But patience. Patience to the other person. Patience to listen. Because when we listen, we learn more. Now, if you would have called, I would have listened too. But you didn't, so I'm here. So five things. Five things to really bring some joy into your relationship. Stop blaming your other partner for your disappointments. Discover the art of giving. Be a giver, not a taker. Be a giver. And when you give, naturally you will get back. Give up trying to change the other person. The other person is the other person. They are who they are because who they are. You know, there is a sentence I hear, what other people think is none of your business. It also has to go with judgment. What do people think of me? What do people say about me? You will come to discover eventually, hopefully, that it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what other people think. Not to be rude. You don't have to be rude or you don't have to be a schmendrick about this. But really, it doesn't matter. Because this is your journey. This is your expression. You are here to reclaim your own power. Your own joy. And I tell you, this is your journey. You are in it, and you will see the end. You will come to the end, and you will spread your wings, and you will fly, because this is your creation, and you will come to this place of recognizing who you are, how you are, and from that place of accepting yourself with no judgment, but everything that you do, accepting who you are, from that place you will fly. So it's about time, and I'm going to play the last song for today also by Matti Caspi. This is kind of an interesting, I'm speaking in English and yet I am putting Israeli songs. That's kind of like my bridge of trying to bridge in both places. Also sitting here in LA, and whoever is listening in Israel, and so kind of to bridge both worlds, trying to anyway. Words and music. So this is I'm Ilan Azulay, and I'll be happy to talk to you. If you want to ask me any questions, if you want to talk to me, you can find me on the Facebook. It's facebook.com/bodysoulsound. Body like BODY SOULSOUND. And I hope you have a wonderful week. Make it whatever you're creating. And shalom ve'litrot, and I'll see you next Sunday.
הנה 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 מנגינה שמתחילה מנגינה שמתחילה ומי במול אבל רוצה לגדול אלה במול פמינור מחפשת למוצא והנה היא עולה עולה לא ידעתי שתברח לא ידעתי שתעוף רחוק כל כך לא ידעתי שאותי תשכח תתחצה ותענה הנה הנה